from God. Let's ask that this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus, we've come to worship you and God magnify your name. Lord, we've come into this house that your presence, Lord, may make us strong. Amen. Lord, may make us wise. God, put compassion in us that we would feel that for our families and friends. Amen. We understand that the real motive of our relationship with you is not just this house. Amen. This is where we come to gain strength. This is where we've come to gather one another. Amen. God, we've come wanting to be a lion, Lord, to seek out the battle for you. But yet, Lord, we want to be the lamb. Amen. Lord, that can do the right things and lead in the right ways. God, to know, amen, not just in a ministerial, pastoral, or evangelistic type ministry, but God, in our lives of just being Christians. Amen. And we want to walk the street as a Christian. We want to go to work as a Christian. We want to leave work as a Christian. Hallelujah. Because the world really needs to know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. You're the God that has come to strengthen us. Hallelujah. Anoint us and use us. Amen. And so we're going to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say that with me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. By that authority we stand. Amen. By that authority we believe. Amen. We are not going to keep quiet. Amen. For this great gospel you've given to us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In
all the redeemed, let the world sing. Glory. let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. That is God's invitation to everyone here today. If you need a healing, you need a touch in your body. We're going to open up this moment of the service for prayer. There's some needs on the board here that some people need praying for. For Sister Doris Atkins and Brother Day and Sean and Easton continually. For Sister Christy and for Ray. And for anybody else that has a need that isn't on the board. God's glory and his power is here today, is here right now. I just want to respond to his presence in this place. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, your presence is in this place, Lord. We're crying out to you, Lord. We're believing in you, Lord, that you're a God that responds to our faith, our obedient faith to you, Lord. That you said that we can boldly come before you with this throne of grace and mercy, Lord. You know every need, you know every prayer, you know every cry that has been cried, Lord. Week after week, month after month, year after year, Lord. You're a God that is attentive to our prayers and attentive to our cries. You are here to respond to us today. And we are here, Lord, to receive from you, Lord. You have an open invitation with open arms, Lord. We're going to receive from you, Lord, what you have for us. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Touch the day, Lord. Touch the Sister Doris. Touch Brother Ray. Praise that, Lord. You're an omniscient God, Lord. You're powerful.
let's worship him all over this place. God, we praise you. God, we worship you. God, you're holy. God, you're worthy, Jesus. God, you're glorious. God, you're righteous. God, you're perfect in all of your ways. We honor you in this place. We give you glory. We give you praise. We lift you up, God. He is wonderful. He is awesome. He is powerful. He is mighty. He is a strong tower. We love you today. We love you today. That should be our only, the only way we can worship is just abandonly. Any other worship just doesn't cut it. Any other worship doesn't give him honor, the honor that he deserves. And we worship him today. I love what we feel in this place. One more time, let's just clap our hands and thank God for what we feel today, for what he's going to do, for what he's already done in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A few announcements for the week. Tonight we'll have prayer at 6 p.m. And then this Wednesday we'll have worship in the Word at 7 p.m. This Friday night, everybody say Friday.
Friday.
Say Connections Game Night.
Connections Game Night.
We'll have a game night here at FAC at 7 p.m. I've just been informed by Brother Ryan. He is making Ryan Wallace's famous pot o' chili. If you've never had it before, I've never had it. But Friday night is your night to dip into the pot o' chili. But if you would like to bring something, crackers, Doritos, cheese, you know, any sort of something that would go a long way, connect with cheese and cheese and cheese and cheese. Connect with Brother Ryan. We don't want everybody just to bring cheese and us not to have any crackers, because then that's not chili. I'll bring sour cream because I got to have sour cream with mine. But connect with Brother Ryan. Let him know what you can bring. And that'll be a great time. It's going to be a time just to fellowship, a time to bring those connections that you're trying to reach and just show them that we like to have fun. We will not be overly competitive, hopefully, maybe. Unless they want to be, then we will match their competitiveness. But we want you to make plans to be there Friday night. Wednesday, February 26th, we will have our annual church business meeting here at the church at 7. You all are invited to participate and to go over 2019's business of the church. It's going to be a great time that evening. Before we go into meet and greet, I did want to recognize two people. Speaking of game night, I believe we have the world's best Monopoly player, Zoe, is here. She is not invited to the game night because I've heard she's too good at Monopoly. She would beat all of us, but make sure you say hi to Zoe. And we also, there's a celebrity here today. A member of the Blue Man Group has shown up. Dino is here, so it's good to have the member of the Blue Man Group. Make sure you say hi to Eddie today. But let's take a few moments and let's get out in the aisles. Let's shake hands. Let's hug some necks, and greet each other and love them with the love of the Lord. Thank you. you're making your way back to your seats, we do have a special announcement that I want to have Brother Spencer come give an update on the youth boy-girl penny war fund, whatever.
So as of right now, the guys are winning. So that means, as of right now, that means Sister Johnson will be getting a pie in the face in 2 weeks. So if you want to keep that from happening, ladies, you need to start putting some money in the ladies' bin. Otherwise, Brother Johnson will be putting a pie in Sister Johnson's face in 2 weeks.
Yeah, how far?
You are $39.
Oh, well, I put money in that bin.
This is as of Wednesday.
I have heard some reports of some birthday money has gone towards the ladies' jar, and I do believe that number is now wrong as of minutes ago. Right, Sadie?
That's right. Come on, girls.
So, men, I mean, let's tighten it up, guys. Come on. Do we really want to see the ladies win this? Mason? Mason doesn't. One more announcement that I overlooked. This coming Saturday, there will be a music practice, music meeting here at the church. For those that are involved in music or would like to be involved in music, Saturday at 10 a.m., they'll be meeting here, so you all are invited to attend for that music practice. As our ushers would get ready for today's tithe and offering. Put the declaration on the screen and we're going to say this together. Upon the authority of your word, I have given and it shall be given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither and I bring my offerings to the house of the Lord. I bring them today into the storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, the curse is broken, and I live under an open heaven. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. I and my whole family am blessed and walking in the favor of God. I have health and abundance, and I am blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Amen. Give unto the Lord this morning.
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You're the waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Thank you.
time and just connect with somebody next to you. Why don't you just encourage somebody in the Holy Ghost? And we serve a way maker. Come on, if you're not praying, why don't you just get next to somebody, bind together. And we serve a way maker. We serve a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He's going to provide. He's going to bring a way out. Come on, why don't you just speak it right now. You may be looking at darkness, but speak it. God, you're bringing me through this. God, you're working. God, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. God, you haven't taken a time off. You never taken a day off. God, you're working. God, you're working right now. God, you're working. That's it. Come on, let the Lord lead you right now. Be bold right now. Let the Holy Ghost speak. Scripture in Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You might find yourself in the wilderness today. You might find yourself in a desert today. But I believe God is telling somebody, "Behold, I will do a new thing. If you will allow me, I will do a new thing." Not an old thing, not a used up thing. I want to do a new thing in your life. I want to do something that you've never experienced before. I want to break chains of bondage, barriers. I want to break down walls. I want to do a new thing. I believe whatever you need God to do today, I know that there are many needs that are represented here. I know that there's family stuff. There's financial. There's job. There's physical. There's spiritual. I know that there are many, many, many needs. But we have a God that is able. We serve a God that can touch every single need today. There's no reason for us to leave this place hurting, broken. God wants to take brokenness today and put you back together. God wants to take burdens off of somebody's shoulder. There's things that you've been carrying that God doesn't want you to carry today. He wants to do a new thing. God, we praise you. God, we praise you. God, we praise you. Thank you. in this place. If you need something, come on, we're waiting on the Lord right now. I just feel like God's still moving. God's still doing something. Come on, don't miss an opportunity right now. If God's telling you to do something, won't you just trust Him? I promise no one will laugh. I promise no one will draw attention to you. It's the Holy Ghost doing. If you came with a need today, I do believe that the miracle worker is in this place.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I know it's easy for us to say that every Sunday, and you could be skeptical and say, well, yeah, but you always say that. Yeah, but He's always here.
Right.
It's up to you. Are you going to take advantage of Him being here? He's here for one reason, and that's to touch you. That's to heal you. That's to restore you. That's why He's here in this place. Amen. Amen. Are you going to take advantage of it? It is up to you. I want to turn our attention to Matthew 9, verse 18. I will try and be brief. I really don't want to be in the way of what God's doing. If you feel something at some point today, you have absolute permission. Whatever God's telling you to do, if you feel like you need to go pray for somebody while we're speaking, go pray for somebody. If you need to come to the altar, come to the altar. If you need to take a lap, take a lap. Whatever God is telling you to do today, we want to be sensitive. We want to do whatever it takes to get a hold of Him today. Matthew 9:18 says, while He spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler who worshipped Him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him. So did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The woman was whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. And then 27 says, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. In just this one passage, this 13 verses, one afternoon, Jesus raises someone from the dead. He heals someone that has a disease for 12 years that no doctor could heal. And then he opens two men that have their eyes, or two blind eyes, two men that have blind eyes. He opens their eyes. All three in one afternoon, all three from very different situations, all three from very different walks of life. One was a ruler. One was a woman who had nothing left. Scripture tells us she gave all that she had to doctors to be healed. And then the two men, they're insignificant. No other writer in the Bible, no other writer in the gospel put this story in but Matthew. Just insignificant what Jesus did, healing two men of blindness. But all three of them, they had a need that was bigger than they were. Each one of them got to Jesus differently. Jairus came to him and worshiped. The woman with the issue of blood got on her hands and knees and crawled and reached to Jesus. The blind men couldn't do that. All they could do was cry, "Jesus, thou son of David." None of them could get Jesus' attention the same way. But all three made up in their mind that they were going to do whatever they could. Whatever their station in life was, whatever their position was, however they could get to Jesus, they were going to get to Jesus by any means necessary. I want to speak to us for just a few moments, and I believe God wants to do something today, but by any means necessary. If we could just put our phones, put our Bibles down, and let's just sincerely ask God to move today. Come on, let's remove whatever hindrances you may have, and let's just ask God to speak into our hearts and into our minds. Heavenly Father, oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we've felt your touch. Oh, God, we've felt the presence of the Almighty God. I don't even know how to direct this service, God, because I don't want to get in the way of what you are trying to do. But I pray that you would speak directly into our hearts. You'd speak directly into our minds, God. Lord, that you'd take my words and you'd make them your words. You'd use them, Jesus, to direct us, God, that we must get to you by any means necessary. God, we must get to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. It was Christmas Eve, 1971, and a 17-year-old named Julianne Diller was joining 93 other passengers on Lanza Flight 508. They were in the Amazon rainforest, and they were going to be traveling. Their flight plan took them over the Peruvian rainforest and back into Mexico. And as they're traveling on Christmas Eve, a severe thunderstorm popped up out of nowhere, and it was battering the plane, causing turbulence. And the pilots made the decision to rapidly descend to a lower altitude to try and avoid this storm that popped up out of nowhere. And during their rapid descent, a lightning bolt struck that plane, struck Flight 508, and it caused an internal explosion that set off cataclysmic events for that airplane. It wasn't long as they were descending that one of the planes became loose, and due to the rudder and due to the friction, that wing came loose, and that wing flew off of the plane. And as you know, a plane with only one wing is not a plane. It is a weight that is going to be traveling towards Earth. And during its crash, as it was beginning to descend, the pilots lost control and there was no power. And then other pieces of the plane started breaking apart, and it wasn't long before the roof of the cabin of the plane was ripped off. And Julianne and 93 other passengers found themselves barreling towards Earth. And during that turbulent time, things went, I don't know if they could go from bad to worse in this scenario, but they did. Her seat literally was ripped out of the plane. And so she is barreling towards the Peruvian rainforest, seat belted into her seat. No parachute, no way to stop, just at the mercy of gravity. And by some act of God, some miracle, she hit the dense canopy trees, and it somehow slowed her fall, and she actually hit the ground, was knocked out, and woke up the next morning with only a broken collarbone, a gash in her arm, and a swollen right eye. A miracle for her to survive, but now she found herself in the middle of the Peruvian rainforest. No skills, no gear. She wasn't preparing for this trip. She was on a flight, didn't have anything. The only thing she remembered was her parents told her at a young age, if you ever find yourself lost in a wilderness, find a stream, find a river, find something and follow it, because people always settle along the river. Armed with that smallest bit of information, she struck out alone, and she found a stream and soon followed that. And for 9 days in the jungle, she traversed this stream, sleeping against trees at night, fighting off snakes and insects, all the while not having any clue if she was the only survivor or if she was even headed in the right direction. Finally, after 9 grueling days, that 17-year-old Julianne found a stream, or that stream led her to a nearby shelter, and she saw a canoe there, and soon she was rescued by loggers. It was weeks later that a search team finally found the wreckage of Flight 508, and they would find the remains of others that somehow, miraculously, just like Julianne, they had survived the crash. But what they had determined, they said survived the crash, but eventually had died due to starvation and their injuries. And it looked like they had tried to set up camp there and wait for rescue. When Julianne was later returned to the States and questioned on how she was able to survive this ordeal, her words were, "I made up in my mind on day two that wherever I had to sleep, I would sleep. Whatever I had to eat, I would eat. I was going to make it home by any means necessary." A tragic story that she somehow saw the will because she knew that she had to make it home. She was going to do whatever it took by any means necessary. Our text today gives us three different scenarios. Although they're very different situations, all three agree upon the same thing. They each had a need that only Jesus could provide. They were determined to get to Jesus by any means necessary. See, needs are things that we don't really want. None of us would say, I hope tonight when I go to bed, I have more needs than when I woke up this morning. We all would say, I hope I have fewer. I hope I do something to just check something off. I accomplish something today. I don't want more on my plate tomorrow than what I had today. We don't go out seeking for needs. But needs are the things that God orders in our life to make us dependent upon Him and continue to search for Him. In a world that's taught to be independent, taught to be self-sufficient, God desires us to be dependent upon Him. God desires us to be God-dependent. In a world that wants no needs, God is desperately trying to come up with needs to get our attention and focus upon Him, because He is drawn to needs. But more important than Him being drawn to needs, our needs turn our attention to Jesus. Our needs get us our focus off of our day, our focus off of our life, our focus off of whatever we seem so important, when we recognize we have a need and the only person that can help us is Jesus. Jesus. I at times, of course, our flesh does not desire or seek out needs, but if we're being honest with ourselves, we would recognize that if there's days where if I didn't have a need, I don't even know if I'd pray. I got so much other stuff going on. I'm busy. I got work. I got family. I got kids. I got all this stuff. I just don't have time in the day. But when you have a need, you find Jesus. You find time to get with Jesus when you have a need. And we see Jairus' daughter. She was dead. And really, if you think about it, his situation wasn't dire. There really wasn't a need any longer. It was finished. She was dead. You don't come back from dead. You just move on. You have a service, and it's difficult. And life's never really the same, but you learn to live with death, and you move on. But Jairus realized that nothing is dead when Jesus is in the picture. No situation that is seemingly over. No hopeless thing is done when Jesus is working. From the very moment on Easter Sunday, when that stone was rolled away, when the angels say to Mary, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. From that very moment, nothing is dead. Nothing is done. No situation is over with. No situation is accomplished. Nothing is finished before Jesus says so. Jesus is in control. Jesus knows what He's doing. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He can conquer your dead situation. He can still speak life where there only seems to be death, where there only seems to be nothingness. Dead does not mean done when Jesus is there. Matthew 9:18, it tells the story of Jairus approaching Jesus. It says, while he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. If you look, it says, the scripture says he worshipped him by saying, my daughter is dead, but just come and lay your hand upon her and she shall live. It doesn't really look like worship at first glance. It looks like him just telling him the situation, just requesting a need. But if you hear the words he says, it says she is dead, but he doesn't say it is done. It doesn't mean that it's done. It says she is dead, but you can come and lay your hand upon her and she shall live. What he's saying is, you are Jesus Christ. You are the Messiah. You have the power to raise her up from the dead. And he's bringing this need, but he is exalting Jesus with that very need. He is lifting Jesus up with that need. He didn't say, my daughter is dead. You should have gotten here sooner. He didn't say, my daughter is dead. Where were you? You can't do anything about it now. He said, no, my daughter is dead, but I believe that you are the one that has the power to raise her up. See, we have to realize that we don't need to bring needs to God. God knows your needs. God knows that you have issues. God knows that you have trials. God isn't looking for someone to bring needs to him. God is looking for someone to bring worship to him. God wants you to turn your wants into worship. God wants you to turn your prayers into praise. God wants you to realize that even though your need seems so big to you, it is so small to him. Your need is not overwhelming Jesus. Your need is not catching Jesus off guard. You have to recognize who he is. Bring that need before him with worship. He isn't seeking needs. He's seeking worship. Scripture in John 4 tells us, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He isn't looking for you just to come bringing needs. He just wants you to come worship him. Just spend time. Recognize who he is. Recognize him as God Almighty. Jairus recognized him as that. Jairus saw that he was more than a man. Jairus saw that he had the power over death. Jairus saw that. We need to recognize who he is. If you take care of the worship, he will take care of the need. So Jesus makes up in his mind that he will go to Jairus' daughter. And as he's traveling, the woman with the issue of blood, the story that we know well, finally decides to make her move. Luke 8 tells this story, and he gives certain details I want to point out. Verse 42 says he had only one daughter, talking about Jairus, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee, they press thee, and you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. When you get to Jesus, when you touch Jesus, he notices. So he said, somebody touched me. We see this issue of this woman. She is at the end of her rope. She has no money left. She spent it all of her savings, everything that she had went towards getting an answer for this sickness, and there is no answer. She's been to the specialist. She's been to the Mayo Clinic. She's been to the surgeon. She's seen everybody, and there is no answer. But she decided that her only solution was to get to Jesus. And so the scripture tells us, it calls us throngs of people. And we see the image of Jesus surrounded by people. But get this, surrounded by people with needs. Not surrounded by people that are just, you know, just cheering them on, just going. I mean, everywhere Jesus went, people with needs came to him. There were people touching him with needs. But she did something more than just surround Jesus. She made up in her mind that I've got to get to him. And so she elbows, she scrapes, she fights, she claws. She's a sickly woman of 12 years. This isn't a spry young lady that has youth and can just push through. This is someone who's broken. This is someone who struggled. But she made up in her mind, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to fight whatever it takes. If they knock me down, I'll be knocked down. If I have to crawl, I'll crawl. But I've got to get to Jesus. Picture this woman, just broken, nothing left, struggling, doing everything she can to get to Jesus. But when she gets to Jesus, somebody hath touched me. He stops. He's going to heal Jairus' daughter. He has a plan. This is what he has scheduled for this afternoon. But when someone who's broken, who's beaten, who's struggling, pushes and fights and makes up in their mind to get to Jesus, he notices. He notices. Every need that you present, every time that you get on your knees on a Tuesday in your prayer closet and you bring that same need, that same thing that you brought to him for the last 6 years, that same thing you've been praying about, every single time you push through and you say, God, by any means necessary, God, whatever it takes to do, whatever I got to do, whatever I will do, whatever it takes, every time you do it, God notices. God sees you. God knows that you're fighting. He knows that you're trying. He knows that you're pushing. Some of us would prefer, we would prefer that we would just bow our heads and pray, Lord, I have this need, touch it. We open our eyes and we would like it to be gone. We all have been there. We all have prayed that prayer. Lord, this is pretty big. I just need you to touch it. And I'm going to open up my phone and check my bank account. And I'm assuming the money's going to be there. I really prayed on that one, God. Was hoping that that $1,000 would just show up. But we get frustrated and we don't see it it doesn't work the way we think it should work. And we don't see it the way he sees it. And I'm reminded as we sing that song, even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He's moving. And so if it takes, if God desires me to get disheveled, to get broken, to get to the end of my rope, where if it takes me crawling, if it takes me getting down, if it takes me fighting through people, if it takes me just whatever I have to fight, whatever I have to do, I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know how you can relate to that woman. I don't know what 12 years of bondage looks like, but I know when she saw Jesus, she made up in her mind that I am getting to him. I may only touch a border. I may only touch the smallest piece, but I know if I get to Jesus, I will get his attention. It takes just laying everything down. I mean, I'm not going to disrobe any further. This will be it. But whatever you have to do, whatever you have to lay down, whatever sacrifice, whatever effort, it is worth getting to Jesus. It is worth getting a piece of him. Because if you get a piece of him, he will heal you. Too often, we would rather be buttoned up. We'd rather be put together. We don't want anybody to know. We want to blend in. We want to sit right here and look like we have everything together. Oh, they have a need. Oh, they're up in the front praying. Oh, that's a shame. Well, I do have a need as well, but they must have a really bad need because they're going up there. You know, and we get this in our mindset, and I'm going somewhere, I think. I don't know where I'm going. I'm going all over this sanctuary. But we place ourselves, and we position ourselves, and we start to do the thing where what is their need? What do you think that is? They're going up again. And we start to just watch, and we people watch, and we wonder, and what could possibly be going on? Oh, did you see them pray? Oh, man, well, that was a good service. I didn't get my answer to my prayer. I wish I would have been healed. I wish I would have been touched. When they are presenting their need, they are coming, they are getting out of their comfort zone and getting God's attention, and we leave this place wondering why we didn't get an answer. Wondering why, well, I just don't know why I didn't get a touch. I just don't know why God hasn't worked yet. I just don't know what's going on. When that person walks away and they say, but God healed my body. And you say, well, why didn't I get a touch? Because you didn't put yourself out. You didn't make up in your mind that by whatever means necessary, however I have to get to Jesus, I'm going to get to Jesus. Whatever I have to do, I want to get to Jesus. I want to get to Jesus. I want him to notice me. I want him to see me. I want him to reach and touch me. So Jesus, he heals her. He moves on and he goes to Jairus' house. He gets to Jairus' house and we know the scripture. He raises her from the dead. No big deal. He barely broke a sweat. But do we understand? I'm feeling loose, feeling comfortable, clearly. Maybe it was just the sliding on the pews. I enjoyed that. But we overlook, yeah, he healed 12 years. She had sickness. Oh, well, that's cool. Oh, he raised her from the dead. Praise the Lord. And I was listening to Brother Jerry Jones yesterday talk about the Bible, talk about reading the Bible, talking about preaching the Bible. And he talked that we become experts in reading the Bible, and so the Bible has no impact on us. And he said, when you try and study the Bible, when you're trying to put together a thought, read the Bible as if it's brand new, as if it's if you're a stranger to the Bible. And if we would read this, and if this was the first time we ever heard this, he raised somebody from the dead? Whoa! What kind of a God are we working with? I know we know, oh, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Oh, he did this. Yeah. We know. That's the problem. We know. God raised her from the dead. If he spoke life into death, what can God do in your life? What do you need him to do? He's not limited. He's not overwhelmed. He's looking at death and he says, yeah, I'll get there when I get there. She's not dead, she's sleeping. No, but Jesus, she's dead. No. She's sleeping. I am Jesus. And so we come and say, but God, I don't have money in the bank. God, I've been sick for this long. God, my family's falling apart. And God's saying, no, I'm God. I got this. If I can raise someone from the dead, if I can heal the sick, if I can touch blinded eyes, I got your need. Whatever it is, whatever you present, just bring it to me. Just make up in your mind, by any means necessary, I'm going to get to Jesus. If I have to crawl, I'll crawl. If I have to fight, I'll fight. But by any means necessary, I'm going to get to Jesus. And so finally, he heals, and finally he works, and we just can't allow that to be lost on us, that who he is, and what Jesus can do in an afternoon. And to finish his day off, we see what takes place in Matthew 9:27. To Jesus departed thence, two blind men following, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. I think it's important to note, and the reason I even wanted to talk about this today, because these men didn't have the clout like Jairus. They weren't a ruler to speak to Jesus and ask him to come heal his daughter. They didn't have the ability or the vision to fight through a crowd and pull on Jesus' robe. They wouldn't have known who he was, even if they could have fought through the crowd. They would have been pulling on every single person's robe. They were blind. They only could see darkness. They could only see their very real situation. They looked to the left, blind. They looked to the right, blind. They cannot see anything but their situation. The thing to note about them is that they had never seen a miracle that Jesus had done. They could only hear the murmurs. They could only hear the rumors of this man, Jesus. Others had seen him raise people from the dead. Others had experienced it and had seen it. But these men, they had never gotten the opportunity to see what Jesus could do. But they had a need. And so the scripture says that they cried out, Jesus!
Jesus, thou son of David. And if you understand what they're actually saying here, they've never met this man. They've never seen him with their own eyes, but they are recognizing that this is the Messiah. This is who was prophesied about. That would be of the line of David. They're saying, God, Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, have mercy on me. They've never seen him before. They never had interacted with him, but they knew who he was. And when they cried out, Jesus recognized them. They didn't have the power to ask. That was not in their means. They couldn't reach out. They didn't have that ability to see where he would be. The only way they could get to them was to cry out. But Jesus heard them, because Jesus always notices a need. However you get his attention, you may be able to ask. You may be able to worship, and that will get it. You might have to reach, or you might just have to cry out. Maybe you've never seen Jesus do a miracle in your life before. You've never seen Jesus touch before. You have been blinded to Jesus' ability. But I'm here to tell you today that just because you've never seen it happen before doesn't mean that Jesus isn't going to turn his attention to you and speak and touch and do a work in your life. Even though you've never seen it happen before, Jesus can still touch. Jesus can move. Let's stand today. So do you find yourself like Julian Diller, stuck in a storm, lost in the wilderness, just trying to find a stream, trying to find hope? Will you be like her that just goes out and tries to find somebody? Or will you be like the other plane survivors? Will you just sit where you're at and just hope something happens? Well, I'm coming to church. I made it. I survived the plane crash. I'm here, aren't I? Maybe someone will come along. Maybe someone will give me water. Maybe someone will give me food. Or will you be like Julian that says, I'm survived, I made it here, but here isn't good enough. I'm not safe here. I've got to continue moving by any means necessary. I've got to push. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be difficult. But if you can get to Jesus, Jesus will answer your prayer. Maybe you're like the man that came to Jesus with worship. Maybe you're like the woman with the issue of blood. You've tried everything, and yet no answers. Maybe you relate with the blind man. You're living with blinded eyes, that all you see is your situation. All you see is darkness. Everywhere you turn, there's debt. Everywhere you turn, there's sickness. Everywhere you turn, your family isn't together. Everywhere you turn, there's a need. And you've never seen Jesus work in this type of situation before. I don't know how you relate today. I don't know what you're going through. But the only way you can get to Jesus is by doing something I don't even want to say that. That was too strong. Because for everybody here, there's only your way to get to Jesus. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. Jesus isn't saying, did they do this right? Did they do it? No, he's not holding you up to a measuring tape. He's just saying, are they doing everything in their power to get to me? Do they really want me? Do they really want a connection with me? Because it doesn't matter who you are. There's three different people from three very different walks of life facing three very different situations. But they made up in their mind, by any means necessary, I'm going to get to Jesus. As we close, why don't we just close our eyes right now? And let's just talk to Jesus.
Thank you.
if we really thought Jesus could heal us, we would not leave a service without exhausting every bit of our energy and our bodies and our strength. We would have to be carried out of this place if we really believed that Jesus could touch us. And I'm not attacking anybody's faith. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's not at all what I'm trying to do. In fact, if you've ever had a need, if you've ever needed Jesus to do something, why don't you just raise your hand? If you've at any point in your life, every single hand is raised in this place. So that makes us on an equal playing field. We all need Jesus. We all need him to work. We all need him to touch. We all need him to do something in our life. And you may say, but I've prayed this prayer before. I've tried, Pastor. I've fasted. I've tried. And I'm just trying to encourage somebody today that I know that you've tried. I know that he's tried, but he's just looking for you to try a little more. He's just looking for you to push a little more. He's just looking for you to seek him a little more. Jesus, why don't we just lift up our hands right where we're at? I'm just trying to feel after what the Holy Ghost is trying to do right now. Come on, won't you just pray a prayer of faith? Won't you just make up in your mind that I'm going to try and connect. I'm going to try and move. I'm going to try and speak. I'm going to try and do something. And I'm going to see you move right now. I'm going to see you working right now. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, lift us up. Lift us up, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus, God, right now to experience a move of your touch. God, I pray that you'd focus in our hearts, focus in our minds and what you're trying to do, God, how you're trying to minister. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to ask. There's no music playing, and I don't want any music playing right now. Keep praying, Lauren, wherever you're at. This is more difficult. It's easy to come to the front when there's music, when there's people worshiping, when there's the presence of God. It's more difficult right now for you to step out and come to the altar. But I'm inviting somebody to come. If you have a need and you want God to do something, I know that this is more difficult. I know that more eyes might be on you, but it is time for you to say, I don't care who's watching. I don't care who's looking. I have a need and I need God to touch. I need God to move. I'm inviting whatever your need is. Come on, we're not looking at you. We're not drawing attention to you. We all have had needs. We all need God to do something right now. And as you come, if you don't have a need, I'm inviting you to come pray with those that have come before us. God, come pray right now. Say, God, I need you to touch my brother. God, I need you to touch my sister. Come on, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you should be praying Holy Ghost-filled prayers. You should be speaking to somebody right now. You should be praying an anointed prayer. You don't know what need they have. Their marriage might be in jeopardy. Their family might be struggling. They may not have enough money in the bank to get them through this week. We need God to touch. We need God to speak. That's it. Let God lead you right now. Come on, pray a bold prayer. Come on, pray, God, I am at the end of my rope. God, I've been broken for years. God, but if I could just touch a hem of your garment right now, you will restore. God, I am doing anything I can by any means necessary. God, whatever it takes. God, whatever it looks like, I am reaching. I am touching. I am pulling. I am seeking. God, I am seeking you right now in the name of Jesus. That's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Why don't you just pray right now? Oh, let the Lord lead you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, speak to us. Oh, God, touch. Come on, that's it. Come on, allow a breaking right now. Allow, you need God. That's okay to need God. That's okay for you to be broken right now. Come on, we all need God. That's all right to allow yourself, God, to feel things you haven't felt in a long time. That's okay for you to cry. That's okay for you to need Jesus to touch. Oh, God, we need you right now. We need you right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's just spend another moment. Come on, let's just wait upon God. He's been here the entire time. Come on, if you're done praying, just connect with someone. Even just unite with someone. Put your arm around them. There's still people praying. And just let God lead you right now. Come on, God wants to speak into your life. God wants to use you to minister. God has called you to speak peace into someone's family. Speak peace into destruction. God, we need you right now. Jesus, we need you right now. You're working right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Let's just for another moment, can you find someone to link up with? I want to pray together. And maybe if you're sick in your body today and you need an answer, would you just lift your hand? If you've been fighting some kind of sickness, small or big, anything. All right, and if we could just join together for those people, maybe if you would come forward if you need a touch in your body. I felt this earlier, and my husband just said he felt like I should close, and I was not going to say anything because I know that I am nobody and only here by the grace of God, but the Lord has saved my life, healed my body. I am here only because he worked, because he healed me. I would have died from meningitis prior to having Paris. You guys have heard the story, but I have fought battles with my health for years and years and years, and just after having her was I completely healed. And as I was playing today, I just felt the Lord just impress upon me to just pray for people that needed healing in their body, because the Lord has healed me, so I have faith that he can do it for you. And so I didn't know when would be the proper time to do that or to ever ask, so I didn't say anything, but my husband just felt to have me come up here. So I do believe it is of the Lord. I don't believe that was just me, although I tried to dismiss it as me. But if we could just come forward, if you need a touch in your body, and maybe if you're in the front, but you don't need a touch, but if you are sick in body right now, if you would just come forward. I believe it would just be fitting if we would lay hands on you and our ministry team and anoint you with oil. I believe that the Lord wants to heal and do a healing work today. And I believe that if you have faith today, that there's nothing, like my husband already preached, that can stop you from getting what you need. So let's join together, just maybe one at a time. We're going to pray together for your needs, and just join with us in prayer, believing in faith for healing today.
In Jesus' name. I know the last couple of weeks it's kind of turned into this, and it has not been intentional, but I do believe that it's been God-led, and I do believe that when we pray, God hears, God moves, God speaks, and we will end every service. This is what we want to pray for people. We want to believe for each other that God is able to heal and touch and move and work. Amen. 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 He is the way maker. He is a miracle worker. Even when you cannot see it, he's working. We just prayed for a few here. I would love God's able to do just immediate healing like that. And if he doesn't, even when you cannot see it, even though you may walk back with a limp, I believe God is still working. God is still moving. God is still in power and on the throne. One more time, let's just thank him for what he's done today. Thank you, Jesus, for your touch. God, for your word. God, for these faithful people. What a church. What a body of people that love you. That are sensitive to the Holy Ghost, that would respond to your word. I thank you, Jesus, for these people. I bless them. Touch them, God. They have a need, Lord, and you see their need. You always notice a need. And I thank you, God. Keep us. Bring us back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is a wonderful church. God is here. You are a